You know, I feel really blessed when I read about somebody like Padraic. I'll get it one day. He had every reason to be bitter, didn't he? I tell you what, he'd be 14, 15 years old, and raiders come in. You think you might die, or your family might. To be separated into hard labor and slavery amongst what I'm sure, you know, were pretty rough folk. Interestingly enough, the sermon today is on the third chapter of Titus. Very similar circumstances, probably 300-400 years earlier. Yep. Padraic. I told you. Okay, I'm going to think I'm a paw. I'm a papa, you know, I'm a grandpa. So somehow it'll happen. Padraic. He was in the mid fourth century. So not that long really in some ways. So anyway, we're going to look at the book of Titus. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. It will also, parts of it will be on the screen as I'm going through it. And what I want to do today is I want to go kind of line by line. I'm not going to go and read all of the third chapter at one time, but rather take a few verses at a time and go through it and address some things. This book is full, by the way. If you haven't read it, that's your assignment. Don't just take my word for it. Pastor Brian, he did the first two chapters. He preached on it and did a wonderful job. And now we're going to look at the third and final chapter. And it's good to sit down and read the Word of God, right? Yes? And if you don't know God's Word, whether you know Him or not, but if you don't know His Word, it makes it more difficult for Him to use that word to speak to you, to lead you, to guide you, to touch you. This book has been around, or parts of it have been around more than 3,000 years. And then the New Testament writers wrote in that first century. This is old, but it's also accurate. It's been protected in amazing ways. Okay, that was just a little advertisement. So Paul assigned Titus to oversee the church development on the island of Crete. The first chapter that Paul didn't write them as chapters, but the first part that he was talking about church leadership and then self-control. And we're talking about this overarching theme of the mercy of God, all with an eye toward God giving us good order for living in community. Okay? So that's where we're going. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. I think we're not in the right place there. We want to do the scripture. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good. To slander no one, okay? And something, this is really goofy. To be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone, okay? We'll get to those, so just you can listen to me and not look at that because it's not quite right. But so that's what the scripture says. So Paul jumps right into this passage by giving Titus a series of very important reminders to his flock. And I want to do the same today. Very important reminders for you. The first reminder, and there you go, it's up there, that Christians should submit to the governing rulers and authorities, including being obedient to them. By the way, a side note here, never in my belief will God direct a believer to disobey the word in order to obey people. Let me reiterate, because it is very clearly relevant today to some of the political turmoil. This is not a political sermon. It's a truth sermon. It's from the Word of God. But it's essential with all the political turmoil and all the stuff that's going on. God will not lead believers to break the law to get their own way, nor to make money or to support someone politically. It's not God's will. I will tell you that. I believe that. I am not speaking about a specific party. I'm not specific anything like that. I'm speaking about what the Word of God says. Because if we look back, anybody in here a historian? Anybody like history? I love history. And if we don't understand history, we risk doing what? Repeating it. In World War II, before World War II, the lead up to it, Hitler's demonic regime convinced who in the country, in Germany? Who did they convince? Primarily Christians. That is how Hitler, primarily how he won the country. That is very, very sobering. He convinced them that they could excuse because they had to, they excuse his behavior because they had to obey the authorities. And personally, what I say is enough of that nonsense. It was devastating then, and it could be devastating all through history. We serve God and we follow his commands and his directives. Reminder two, to be ready to do whatever is good. Be ready for every good work. Folks, there's no room for passivity in the calling on each Christ follower. You don't get to sit on the couch and eat bonbons all day and do nothing. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, we all have challenges and physical infirmities and what have you. But he wants our minds and our hearts engaged, whatever that might be. Maybe it's praying for others. Maybe if you can, it's visiting someone else, writing a letter, calling someone. He values each of you and each of us too much to let us just go into neutral. Third, to slander no one. The ancient Greek says to revile, defame, vilify. I think what God's purpose is here is that he's wanting to say we don't have a right to denigrate or to hate someone that Jesus Christ gave their life for. Amen? And in this culture today, a lot of us are doing that. It's a politically charged environment with the national elections on the horizon. And I've personally heard people and seen people call Christ their king and yet talk as if others do not exist. They are less than, they're subhuman. And truthfully, there have been times. I was a police officer for many years. And there were times where I did that, where I talked of someone as if they were less than. And I repent of that. And seriously, judging others is not our place. We get fooled when we think that we should be somebody else's judge. I own that, and I challenge you to own it as well. The Holy Scriptures say elsewhere, we must speak the truth that we believe and how we believe it. And we pray for those who disagree with us. But we may not hate, we may not slander, or be unloving toward. Lord knows, there are lots of things you could say about me and say, you know, wow, I've been discounted. Oh, well, keep walking. But love, love first. Fourth, to be peaceable and considerate and kind. That's the fourth thing you get out of that. And finally, the fifth reminder is to be gentle toward everyone. You keep in mind, Paul already said in Titus 1:12 that some of the folks on that island were difficult. Is that what he said? He actually said they're all something. They're all this and that. I mean, it was a tough message. But Pastor Ryan explained, he didn't mean every single person. And he was trying to challenge Titus that in the middle of difficulty with people, because folks, if you get more than one person in a room, you got difficulty. It's going to happen. I'm serious. So the church is there, like the church is here in the United States. I don't mean difficulty. There's no surprise. Don't wake up and go, I don't like Christians because they don't act the way I expect them to act. Well, yeah. You know what this place is? It's not a place for perfection. It's a place for healing and growth. It's a hospital. And that's what Paul was trying to set up. And Titus wasn't used to that. He was an experienced leader, but it was tough for him. Because, I mean, you know, there were times we probably wanted to go Duke City with him. And I'm serious. You know, this was a rough lot. But here's why our behavior as Christians is so vital to our witness in the world, even right here in Kirkland. So let's look at verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice. We lived in envy. We hated, and we were hating one another, and we ourselves were hated. And you might say, well, I wasn't that way. I grew up in a good home. Folks, the scriptures say, what about our righteousness? Anybody know? It's filthy rags. I am not saying anybody out here is that. I'm saying if we stand up and say, I'm above that, I'm better than, that kind of righteousness, that self-righteousness, is a bunch of muck. It doesn't hold up. On our best days, we have a thought, we have a word, we honk the horn, whatever it is, right? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, there's no human in the entire universe apart from Jesus Christ, who is righteous. Let us be reminded, should we ever think apart from Jesus Christ's atoning blood, that we should be declared good enough or righteous. It don't happen that way. It doesn't happen without Jesus Christ intervening. So Paul is here reminding us that we are not so far. Listen to this. If you have been falling asleep, I'm sorry, stand up. You know, when I drive a long way, sometimes I get really tired. And I have to slap myself. Go ahead. Slap your neighbor, whatever. Paul is here reminding us we are not so far from where we were. Think about that. We are not so far from where we were, and really not far from those we judge. And that we look down on and we sneer at. Remember, we once were. And remember that anything we are able to do in God is by His grace. By His grace. Is that something to say amen for? Yeah, it's okay to say it. We're not Pentecostals, but yeah, we can still do that. It's why Titus is to remind his people, lest we as Christians become lifted up and think that we have accomplished anything in and of ourselves. This is not a sermon, folks. This is not a sermon to put you down or me down or to say, oh, we're going to grovel. There is great freedom, incredible freedom in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And we should bathe ourselves in that. Bathe ourselves in His righteousness. But bring somebody else along. Love somebody who ain't there yet. You get what I'm saying? This is God's truth, and it was God's truth almost 2,000 years ago when Titus, I'm sure there were days where he was, I'm going to pull my hair out. But God used that man. And do you know on the island of Crete, there are all kinds of memorials to Titus. Not like they worshiped him. He impacted that island. Many people came to Jesus Christ because of his leadership. Wow, not that long after that, the same thing happened with Podrick. Man. You see, Cretan folk were known to be difficult, and they were unruly. He said it in the first chapter of Titus. Pastor Brian pointed it out a couple weeks ago. They were primarily a mix, if you're wondering. I love history. I've told you that. And so I looked up a little bit. They were Anatolian, Euro-Asian. They had moved west from Asia. They were in what is now Turkey. And they also, some came down from Greece. And they were... many of them farmers, but they were a mix of people, and they were at the crossroads of culture. And at the time of this writing, the Romans controlled Crete. Not a difficult people to be under their thumb. It's a big island, about 3,200 square miles. It's very long, goes east to west, and it's a bit isolated. The towering mountains, and parts of it are rough. And so as a result of all these things going on, they were a difficult people. They were a challenging people. And Paul acknowledged that. But Titus was told to remind himself and others that any human being can be reclaimed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Any human being. To remember that we were also that, meaning that we were broken, we were living in the dark, we were misled, we were lost, hateful, and hated. To remember where we came from builds four things into each of us. I want you to listen closely, because it's as relevant in the 21st century as it was in the first. First, remembering this, remembering where we came from, and that we ain't all that in a bag of chips, right? Well, that's not what it says exactly, but remembering where we came from builds gratitude in us towards God for what He has done in our lives. Second, remembering builds a humble spirit as we come to see that we have become all of this by His work. Okay? Third, remembering builds kindness toward the other, towards those who may be in the place that we were. And finally, fourth, remembering where we came from builds a faith in us that causes us to believe Jesus Christ can change those who remain in that place in that dark corner, in that deep addiction, in wicked lifestyles, in self-centeredness, or in any place where Jesus Christ has been locked out of a person's life. Okay? Verses 4 through 8. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And he goes on to say, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who've trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone, including you and me today. When we ourselves were in that place that Titus 3:3 describes, how many of us rescued ourselves? I want to see a show of hands. How many of you? Okay. And for those that are watching online, nobody raised their hand. They eat chicken. The question is, when we were in that place that Titus 3:3 describes, we rescued ourselves, right? In other words, when we were lost, when we were dark, we rescued ourselves. No. When you were in the dark, when you did not know Jesus, no, I didn't and you didn't. And that's the reminder for those who are still there or that we just judge because we judge. Whatever it is. If you do not know this light, by the way, this life, this love, that is okay. You are listening to this message, whether you're here in person or online. You are listening. And that is an incredible start. You're not here by accident. You're not hearing this by accident. Our great God and Savior is still reaching out to you. And he knows you. He knows everything about you. Every thought you think, every word, every deed, everything you've done in the secret heart, your secret heart. And just like me, he loves you right where you are. And he says, I came for you. I came for you. And I want my people to convey that to a world that is lost and dark and scary. Folks, there's so many people around us that just don't know which way is up. And we, if we don't sense God, it's okay. Feeling is not really what it's all about. But dust off your Bible and get into it. And if you're depressed, ask for some help and some encouragement. But by all means, grab somebody's hand and bring them along. It will change you. And it will change them, just like Titus was changing people back in the day. I am going to finish here just basically cutting short the sermon because I think what I've said is what I wanted to say. Jesus Christ gave everything for each of you and for me and for the entire world. For God so loved his only son. Right? For God so loved his only son. Gave his son because he loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You don't have to have merit badges. You don't have to be of a certain particular class or whatever, all these other made up things. You simply say, I'm yours. And let go. You don't have to feel anything either. So, God loves you, and he loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you where you are, and he wants you to reach out and love and accept others. Do, Paul said, the work of an evangelist. That doesn't mean you have to stand on the street corner. But pray. Hey, God, how can I touch somebody today? How can I be a blessing? It may be a smile. It may be a thumbs up to somebody on the side of the road. Yeah. So, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are utterly faithful. We thank you that you sent your only Son, that you've worked all this out, and even in our doubting, you remain faithful. Even in our struggles, you remain faithful. We ask that this word would touch and bless those it is to touch and bless, and that we would each be closer to you each day, seeking you and seeking the good of those around us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and everyone said, Amen.